Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to Too Niche.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara.
And this is the show where we like to pick a topic and haul it. And this was an interesting recording. We went into it and we said, we're going to haul something pretty specific.
And then we got on a very different topic, one that's close to both of our hearts. And then we decided we're just going to haul this one thing instead.
So today, like any brave 39-year-olds with cursory knowledge of Taylor Swift, we're going to haul the Tortured Poets Department album.
Okay, but before we get into the Taylor haul, off the top, we have to talk about Lana Chela.
We sure do.
So Lana performed night one of Coachella, weeks one and two. She was the headliner, which we love for her. Kudos to her for slaying, mama. And she really killed it. I think we're witnessing I've never experienced like a dip in Lana, but I think for the culture at large, they're having a Lana-sance.
Yeah, it's really beautiful to see.
And I'm happy about it. And I wish her nothing but more. And I can't wait for what comes next. I hope that she decides to do like a tour and come back to Los Angeles and play a show.
That would be wonderful because I am out of my festival phase. A small intimate venue phase is more my current speed.
Yeah.
Especially for an artist like Lana. That's what I'd like. Although I love that she's packing the headliner at a show like Coachella. That's beautiful.
She deserves to headline and deserves to have that Coachella moment. And I just loved not only the fact that she was performing, but seeing a little bit of behind the scenes tea when she posted about it on Instagram, the whole creative process that went into ideating the show, choreographing, styling it. Set design. She had a manager or like a stage producer that quit with no warning. So she had to navigate drama. And ultimately, she rose from the ashes as she is wont to do, draped in Dolce & Gabbana, riding the back of a motorcycle. Like, you couldn't ask for a better moment.
Just A+. And I really appreciate how she brought out Billie Eilish, who really gave her her flowers and said, none of these bitches would be here without you.
Lana has changed music more than anyone cares to admit, though I think people are coming around and honoring that. Like, a lot of what you hear nowadays, especially on the album that we're about to break down, I think is very much due to Lana's influence.
And also she brought out Camila Cabello doing this song, I Love It, which I had never heard. But I only liked it after hearing Lana sing it at the end.
Love that.
So in my head, I'm hearing this version of the song in Lana's voice, and it made me like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hearing anything in Lana's voice would make me like it.
Exactly. So A+ to Lana Chela. I know we had some nishtas who asked us to weigh in.
So that's the weigh-in. Without further ado, let's jump into the Tortured Poets Department.
Let's. I just want to preface this by saying, so we started talking about the album, and then we said, I guess we just should haul it, because it is quite a lengthy album, 31 songs. So the thought is maybe if you haven't entered into this journey yet of listening, or if you have and have some faves, we're just like discussing what stood out. Maybe if you're overwhelmed by this number, here's just a handful of Too Niche approved bops. And I'm going to go ahead and just say I really like the album. At first, I was like not feeling it. But then upon a second or third listen, as any Taylor song will do, it can grab you and stay in your head for a number of days. So that's where I'm at personally.
Same. I'm on my second to third listen now, and I've really found my anchors. So I'm excited to provide this listening guide to the nishtas to guide them through what's no doubt a rocky road.
Yeah. So we're just going to cut into the conversation that we already started, and we're so happy you're here. So we were going to haul one thing, but we're going to do it next week. And now we're hauling the Dead Poets Society department.
Yeah. Tortured Poets department.
Which, first thing I want to point out, the single of Fortnite, she has Ethan Hawke and the, I forget this other actor's name, who are both in Dead Poets Society in the music video, which I really like.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, all her references are incredibly, like, 1.0, but...
Yes. Beg to differ.
Okay.
Okay.
Educate me.
All right. First song I'll bring up, Guilty as Sin, which is why I love this song. So the first line is, drowning in the Blue Nile, he sent me downtown lights. Blue Nile is a band with a song called Downtown Lights, and that is... apparently, according to the internet, 1975 based a song off of that song. So that's not a 1.0 reference. That's like a deep cut reference.
Okay. But I mean, like a reference as far as like her visual, her like visual cues and like cinematic language.
I've said it before on this very program. I do not like any Taylor Swift music videos.
Yeah, like that's what I mean by like the 1.0 references. Yeah. For the, as far as like the lyrics and like the, we all, I know that she's like seeding things in there. It's like it would take an archaeologist to find all of them.
So true.
But for everything else, I think that it is very 1.0 on the aesthetics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so where should we begin on this impromptu haul? I think we should start at I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, because that was the first song in my second listen that I was like, bop.
You were loving it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the song.
I can read your mind. She's having the time of her life. There in her glittering prime, the lights refract, sequence stars off her silhouette every night. I can show you lights. I'm a real tough kid, I can handle my shit. They said, babe, you gotta fake it till you make it, and I did. Lights, camera, bitch, smile, even when you wanna die. He said he loved me all his life, but that life was too short. Breaking down, I hit the floor. All the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was chanting more. I was grinning like I'm winning, I was hitting my marks, cause I can do it with a broken heart.
Okay, my only critique is that it sounds like a Sky Ferreira song. Like it sounds like everything is embarrassing. And that's the only thing that I'm like, it's almost like identical when she gets into the...
Okay, I need to listen to that song to compare. But what I love about this is, to your point on like, it's very hard to be relatable when you have that level of fame, But what we all did is we saw her get on stage during this Eras tour and like crush it. And what she's saying is, I actually was heartbroken and you guys didn't know that. But the last line of the song, she says,
I love the
don't try to come for my job, because she's saying like, I am the best at what I do because you couldn't even know that I was heartbroken. Tea. And also, I think just in terms of like the relatability factor, haven't we all just had to like push through when we've been in like the depths of something?
Grin and bear it and go on our Eras tour.
Exactly. So love that one.
Love it.
And I think that that's a good sort of segue into the album. At least it was for me. Once I heard that, I was like, okay.
Yeah, that grabbed me on first listen.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit Postal Service for me, like that one Postal Service song, mm-hmm. but I wasn't so mad at that. And then it got to the end and I was like, okay, I can fuck with this.
And then I think we should maybe go to My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys as the next stop of our Tortured Poets tour.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, here we go again. The voices in his head called the rain to end our days of wild. The sickest army doll purchased at the mall. Rivulets descend my plastic smile. But you should have seen him when he first got me. My boy only breaks his favorite toy.
Got a hook.
It's a good one.
It's good. It does that to me on first listen. I was like, Lana coded. I don't love it. But then it moved away from that.
Fortnite to me felt incredibly Lana coded.
Yeah, the first five are.
Yeah, that's probably why I liked the beginning of the album so much. And then I was like, it became a little too like twee.
Yeah.
And then I kind of was like losing steam. But 31 is like a big ask.
31's a huge ask.
Let's listen to Down Bad.
P.S. First, going to say my Pilates teacher, Allie, put this on during a workout and this morning. And it was the perfect workout song.
Yeah.
Because of the line.
Wait, so My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. Who's that about?
That's about Maddie.
Okay. So you're thinking that like Taylor was in love with Maddie even as early as 2020?
Word on the street.
What's the word on the street?
Word on the street is that 2014 is when they first hooked up. 2014 or 2016, but like...
She and Maddie hooked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've sort of been these star-crossed lovers infatuation situation for years and years.
All throughout the Joe Alwyn relationship. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they ever get together?
Timing.
They have touring schedules and big lives.
Yeah.
So then who is Joe in this world to Taylor? Because they were together for what, 6 years?
Yeah.
Is this song about him? So Long London, is that about him?
I think it might be about him, if I guess. But also, famously, Taylor doesn't say who any of her songs are about. So it's all smart speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But my read is this: the majority of this album is about her obsession with Maddie Healy.
and then they finally got together.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think they actually like officially got together?
I have no idea. Probably, I mean,
it was before they came out publicly.
Right, exactly. So it would have had to have been like quite some time before they were spotted holding hands and all that.
Mm-hmm. So she finally gets what she wants.
Uh-huh.
And gets the guy that she's been obsessed with. And then literally everyone's like, no.
Yeah.
And then she has to break up with him. Is that why they broke up?
Well, it sounds like from the album, it was the backlash and he couldn't deal with just like the attention and he just like, it was just wasn't his scene. And so he ghosted her.
Oh.
That one will enter your brain and not leave for a few hours.
Me.
Yeah. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, track 10. This is where I would like to take us next. This song to me is opus level for Taylor. I think this is a standout track on this album.
Wow.
And it is like going to go down on the books.
In history.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the Taylor history.
In herstory.
In herstory.
The who's who of who's that is poised for the attack, but my bare hands paved their paths. You don't get to tell me about sad. If you wanted me dead, you should have just said. Nothing makes me feel more alive. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
We need to skip to the last bridge.
Okay, I have chills.
Because it, like, the lyrics of it are.
Then say they didn't do it to hurt me. But what if they did? I wanna snarl and show you just how disturbed this has made me. You wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. All you kids can sneak into my house with all the cobwebs. I'm always drunk on my own tears. Isn't that what they all said? That I'll sue you if you step on my lawn. That I'm fearsome and I'm wretched and I'm wrong. put narcotics into all of my songs. And that's why you're still singing along. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me?
I was tamed by... Right? Deep chills.
Deep
yeah.
chills, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I like someone addressing their own lore in a smart
same,
way.
Because remember, Tony. Remember when people were like, what's she doing to her songs that like there's some witchcraft happening? And it's like, nope, she's just writing songs, putting out music.
When we were talking about this earlier, I was like, what kind of Russian technology is she using? And then imagine like, what if it came out that she was actually using like deep Russian technology to like make her songs just stick in your head.
Could be.
I think she's just like, she is that bitch.
Exactly.
I mean, now she's had so much experience, it's like she could probably fart out a song.
That's what I think this entire 31 song experience is. I think it was a true fart.
She's just like, whatever.
She's like, I was going
get
through
Jack
it.
In the stew.
Let's just do this.
Yeah.
And that's why she's like, there, here we go.
Yeah, because I was like, when did you have time to do this?
That's why it's interesting, too, to see which songs she wrote herself. To me, those are the songs that she just comes up with probably on a whim. And mm-hmm. boop, there it is. Boop, bop, there yeah. it is. So I love that song. To
that's
me,
a really
that's
good song.
A phenomenal one. Clara Bow, also a cool song.
That was cool, and I liked the end of it, where mm-hmm. she name-checked herself.
Mm-hmm.
Can we listen to The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived?
Sure can.
That's a Maddie Healy
This
song,
is a Maddie
right?
Healy song, and I think women everywhere can relate.
Mm-hmm. This got me on first listen. I was driving back from the gym, or I was driving to the gym. I was driving to and from, and I was listening to this song, and I had to stop the car and try and Google who it was about because I got intrigued because I was like, this is quite the read.
I like that.
Was any of it true? Gazing at me starry-eyed in your Jehovah's Witness suit. Who the fuck was that guy? You tried to buy some pills from a friend of friends of mine. They just ghosted you. Now you know what it feels like. And I don't even want you back, I just want to know if rusting my sparkling summer was the goal. And I don't miss what we had, but could someone give a message to the smallest man who ever lived? You hung me on your
I like her talking about that she has friends of friends who sell pills.
I know. I was like, which friends of yours have pills?
I just like that. I just like knowing that. That feels cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should listen to Thank You, Amy.
Okay.
Which is allegedly about Ms. Kim Kardashian, as the K and the IM in Thank You, Amy are capitalized. However, I will say that a big bit of discourse on Taylor TikTok is mm-hmm. that at the end of Midnights, there's some sort of line that says, if it seems really obvious, then it's probably not what you think it is. And so a lot of people think that this album, the obvious references are actually red herrings, but like, I'm not in the business of looking too much into any of that. I'm just enjoying the bops.
Yeah, I really am looking forward to getting on TikTok and like getting through all the Taylor content and discourse, because I like when people get like scientific about this shit.
I also thought it was really interesting because remember they had pulled, the record label had pulled all of their licensing music off of TikTok.
Yeah, and but she negotiated for her album to be able to be on TikTok.
Well, my theory is that so the day before this album came out, all her entire catalog went back on TikTok. And I think it's because there's so many cross references from other albums that the Swifties have to be referencing other songs that then feed into the songs from this album.
Yeah, but she had negotiated negotiated with TikTok directly to like get all her stuff back on, which I think is honestly very smart because it's such a tool. Like, it's dumb that any like music group wouldn't allow their music to be on TikTok.
Right. I mean, I understand the thinking behind it in terms of the idea was that it just like wasn't helping their bottom line, but
is anything little Tony just outed you.
That was,
what was that, counting the hook crows
from Blues Traveler, as one does. It's a pop.
It is a good song. But I mean, like, what helps any music's bottom line? Music is like only selling your entire touring merch and selling your entire catalog for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, if you're like
the Rolling Stones.
Yep. That's all we got nowadays. Hedge funds.
Yeah, that's it. So like, you might as well just have it on social media to get eyes and ears on it. Yeah,
I agree. But I just thought the timing of the day before this album came out, everything, like, it just all...
Yeah.
All makes sense to me. Okay, so thank you, Amy.
When I picture my hometown, there's a bronze spray tan statue of you, and a plaque underneath it that threatens to push me down the stairs at our school. And it was always the same searing pain, but I dreamed that one day I could say, all that time you were throwing punches, I was building something. And I can't forgive the way you made me feel. Screamed fuck you, Amy, to the night sky as the blood was gushing, but I can't forget the way you made me heal. And it wasn't a fair fight or a clean kill each time that Amy stomped across my grave. And then she wrote headlines in the local paper, laughing at each baby step I take. And it was always the same searing pain.
But the TikTok I saw was about this song being about Dumois, because they said the same searing pain is like a reference to Tree Pain, who came out and said that, like, how dare Dumois post anything about, like, an engagement or whatever.
I just don't think Taylor cares that much about Dumois. But I do know...
she cares a lot about a lot of things.
But I do think that Kim drama just continues to be a story that's repeat in her brain.
Yeah, she's really mad about that still.
Well, I can't imagine how traumatizing that whole ordeal would have been. First with Kanye getting on stage, but then the recording of it, and then, like, you would think that a man who sort of, for lack of a better comparison, bullying another woman, that his wife would be like, hey, this is actually not cool to have a naked replica of this young woman in your music video.
I forgot about that.
And I think that's sort of, if this is in fact about Kim, that would be why she is sort of placing the blame on Kim. Because I think, unfortunately, like, when you're married to somebody and they're acting like that, it's sort of your responsibility to, sorry for being a trad wife, it's your responsibility to say, hey.
To like try and reel them in.
Yeah.
But I also think that's now we see that there was no reeling that could have been done.
Absolutely. But I think that that's why the song is about Kim and in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I also stand by the fact that she never says outright who her songs are about.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that she's sort of a messy bitch who's going to hold on for dear life to like any grievances. I'm into that.
Well, that might have been the worst thing that's ever happened to her. Because what big life experiences do you have aside from like dating, falling in love, and then like other celebrities like beefing with you? Is like your life experience is pretty limited because you're also working a ton.
Right. I don't know. I think that like this beef is monetizable.
Yeah.
And so why not include why not fart out a song about it?
Mm-hmm.
Probably took her a second and a half to do.
True.
And I think also it's the timing. Like she is sort of in a different place in her career now than before, where she can kind of.
She can do whatever she wants.
Exactly. And it's more scathing now than it would have been then.
I'm really intrigued to see like what Travis Kelce sparks in her.
Can we play So High School? Because this song to me is like a quintessential Taylor Swift love song that brings me joy. My first listen, I was not into it. I was like, American Pie? What?
I know, but I was like, she, like, if you're dating a football player, especially like an NFL football player, the chance of them having like mild brain damage is very high. I'm sorry to say. But I'm like, what is this person bringing to the table intellectually? Like, it's such a different vibe from like a Maddie Healy
completely
type, where I'm like, I get the allure.
Yeah.
I get the allure of both. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, how deep can you go with like a jock type? And I guess it remains to be seen.
It remains. I think you get a song like this.
I really like that song.
It's just good. And it's also kind of horny. She's like, your friends are around, so I'm stifling my size.
Okay, yeah. I guess I'm like, he just seems so different from every guy that she's dated. So then I'm like, what is he bringing to the table? And I think it's like sex and lols. And then also he was like, I like you. Like, I want to go out with you.
Do you remember the band The Corrs?
Kind of.
Okay, this is what this song reminds me of, I think. I'm just putting this together, so I could be off, but.
Go on, leave me breathless.
It's kind it of like that. It has that
same vibe. Like,
and like just, a Mazzy Star vibe.
Yeah, it just has this, like, it just evokes that perfect, like, high school
10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack.
Exactly. Vibes. And I just appreciate that because that to me is quintessential Taylor Swift, just like getting back to like
high school,
the high school vibes.
It's kind of like her maturity level. Like they say you stop maturing, like when you get famous, mm-hmm. is like kind of the when you stop like emotionally maturing. So
could be
high school seems about right. And I don't mean that as shady. I mean that as just like objective.
There's something fun to go back to, like the first time you felt X, Y emotion. And I feel like she captures that in lyrically that I always like.
Mm-hmm. And also their relationship is very high school.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the football jock and she's like the popular girl. And it's a Taylor Swift song.
I know. But then I'm like, how, I guess my biggest question is I'm like, how far can this go for her, really? Like, how into it truly is she? Outside of, like, just getting it. I think it has a lot of elements that she likes, like getting attention and then, like, having someone who wants to be, like, public about their relationship. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of fun things. And he's really hot. And I'm sure he's, like, funny. But then I'm just like, beyond that, like, does it have legs? Like, is this really hitting hard for her once you strip kind of that stuff away?
After hearing this album, I'm like, there's no chance that the two of them will last.
Go all the way.
Because clearly,
I was like, this woman likes to be a little bit
tortured.
Like, yeah. And I think that there's something about Travis Kelce that's like very simple, like, but straight for kind of what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And like limited in his capacity to go like really deep.
And he's probably just obsessed with her.
Probably. I mean, like, it's obsession worthy.
Yeah.
But I could see her getting tired of that quickly.
Yeah.
Unless there's some sort of deeper layer that we like don't even know about.
So I want to play Guilty as Sin, which apparently is about her being with Joe, but thinking about Maddie.
Wow.
Drowning in the blue Nile, he sent me downtown lights. I hadn't heard it in a while. My boredom's bone deep. This cage was once just fine. Am I allowed to cry? I dream of cracking
songs like that where I then don't get mad at the Lana-esque-ness of the other songs because it's like she really takes other styles often.
You know at her mean? Core, there's still like a reference to like her kind of core vibe.
Yeah, that's apparently the cores, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, another song, Deep, Deep Down, is that this was probably the second song that I was like, okay, now we're cooking with gas, is The Bolter.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, she almost drowned when she was 6 in frigid water. And I can confirm she made a curious child, ever reviled by everyone except her own father. With a quite bewitching face, splendidly selfish, charmingly helpless, excellent fun till you get to know her. Then she runs like it's a race. Behind her back, her best mates laughed, and they nicknamed her the Bolter. Started with a kiss, oh, we must stop beating like this, but it always ends up with a town car speeding out the drive one evening. Ended with the slam of a door, then he'll call her a whore. Wish she wouldn't be sore, but if she was leaving, it felt like breathing. All her fucking lives flashed before her eyes. It feels like the time she fell through the ice, then came out alive. He was a cat, wanted her bad, just like any good trophy hunter. And she likes the way it tastes, taming a bear, making him care, watching him jump then pulling him under. And at first blush this is fate, when it's all roses, portrait poses, Central Park Lake and tiny rowboats. What a charming Saturday. That's when she sees the littlest leaks down on the floorboards, and she just knows she must bolt. Started with a kiss, oh, we must stop meeting like this, but it always ends up with a town car speeding.
To me, this is like a dark horse Evermore style.
It's a storytelling.
You find it later and you go, ooh, a new Taylor song. Like that kind of thing.
I like it when she goes like allegory.
Mm-hmm.
And like tells a story. Like it made me think of the song that she wrote, like fan fiction about Blake Lively's daughters.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I like it when she goes into like fan fiction zone.
There's a song on this album that's basically about the crashing of the party, which speaks to Betty. Like there's a lot of crossover situations happening. And it's, the album is still too fresh and I haven't done enough of like a proper deep dive. This is more of a primer entree in.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that for sure that's there. And then Peter, which I fell in love with when I heard, which is about the story of Peter Pan. And then she mentions Peter losing Wendy. I think it's in Cardigan.
But, yeah.
And so it's that. And some might say that Maddie Healy is the Peter.
So who then made her feel like a cardigan?
Maddie.
Really?
Allegedly.
Wow.
I don't know. I also don't want to be one of those women who's like, I know exactly what Taylor Swift is thinking, because that doesn't really fit with my ethos. But there's definitely, I think, that whole love lost, never explored theme that she's been playing with for so long, that so many were like, it's because she's a lesbian.
It was actually just like oh, this, she was like in love with this guy that like she couldn't get for a long time, and then got him, and then it like blew up in her face.
And then I just want to say the last song, which is called The Manuscript, the line of the last line of the song, which made me, when I closed out the album upon my first listen, I was like, got it. She says, now and then I reread the manuscript, but the story isn't mine anymore. So it's basically saying she just told us the whole story and now it's gone. Now she's like closed the book.
Mm-hmm. And it's over and she's moving on.
Which I like that as an ending.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's cute. That's so cute.
That's really cute for her.
So, all this to say, Did we cover all the songs?
We covered many of them, but again, there's just so many to cover.
31.
13
backwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Damn. You've gone full T-Swift conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm, you know, there's something nice just about a Taylor album to just take you away from the day-to-day of it all.
It does take me away, and it also, it's just like, I feel like I like her, and I will find songs that I connect to, but what I like the most is having friends like you who I know are really into it, that you can like turn her lyrics into like inside jokes with, or you can like make like memes with your friends and stuff over like taking it so seriously as a joke with friends.
That's the
best part.
That's the thing. I find it so fascinating, her fandom and like that whole culture and all that it is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm more sort of looking in, witnessing it, just partially amused and partially impressed. And it's just really something. But then also like I love a bop. So it just checks a lot of boxes for me in totality.
Is she going to incorporate this into her Eras tour?
If I were to guess, I would say it would probably start going into the acoustic set.
Mm.
But who knows?
Yeah, because then does she just do a Tortured Poets tour? She's like coffee shop tour. Yeah,
that would be the dream. The coffee house would be burned down because the Swifties like can't deal. My hope, my prayer around this album, so she obviously did like Old Faithfuls with Jack Antonoff and Aaron Dessner. And now I would love her to like close the chapter with working with them and then go back to Max Martin or some more like poppy, boppy moments and give us like a fun, like dancey something next.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
But also if she wants to take a break, I respect that too.
Yeah, I would say she's earned it at this point.
Yeah. Okay, I love a impromptu haul.
I know, unplanned. But sometimes that's just how it goes.
It's just how it goes. And if you're going to haul, you've just got to go with where the wind takes you.
I want to know what people think about this album as well.
Yeah. Please drop us a line.
Deep cuts, theories. I would love like a timeline. If you want to send us videos on TikTok, that we would love that.
Yes.
I'm just like looking to distract for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like that's a good distraction.
Agree completely. And we'll do the haul we were going to do this week, next week. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Until next time.
Stay niche.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.